Hello and welcome to the 7th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Creative Listening Podcast. We're making it, Luke.
Yeah, we are.
We're famous.
We are.
We're famous now. It is just Luke and I tonight on this episode. A very special episode.
Definitely.
Meaning it'll be a little shorter. yeah. Just Luke and I. So I am one of your hosts, Mr. Chris Berkheimer. And with me, as always, Luke Laris.
Hello.
How are we doing tonight, Luke?
We're doing quite awesome. How about yourself?
I think I'm doing fine. We've been hanging out for the past few hours, so I think we both know. Dustin West tonight, we had to mention this. Dustin wanted to come on and record with us, but he is at a rodeo tonight, true to form. And so those of you who didn't believe that Dustin really is, you know, from small town Texas and is a bit of redneck, he's at a rodeo tonight. So that cements it. I have the text from him, actually. And
we don't need to go so far to prove it, though.
I want to no, because you got to hear this. I said, tonight we're going to talk about our main topics are going to be Wreck-It Ralph and the Oscars, which is kind of a weird thing to balance. But
it's okay.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some other things. But Dustin texted me tonight. Well, I texted him first and said, "Hey, you want to go see Wreck-It Ralph and then do a short podcast?" And he said, "I'll be T the rodeo tonight." I think he meant to say at.
Yeah.
But he said, "I'll be at the rodeo tonight."
His and sausage fingers.
I said, "No comment." And he said, "Yeehaw." So, I don't know if he's going to come back on this show. He's a good fit.
He's banned.
Nah. We kind of just threw this one together so that we could have one more episode before the big community episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're recording on the 24th. Of this month, which is the night of the Oscars, actually. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, really?
Luke. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But we'll record early, and then, I don't know, we might hang out and watch the Oscars. Luke has never watched the Oscars.
No, I haven't.
I've been watching it pretty much every year of my life.
Really?
I love movies. Yeah. In fact, I think tonight we'll take a picture of my DVD shelf in my new apartment to prove my love of movies to our listeners.
All right.
The ones that have eyes, anyways. And you may notice tonight I sound a little more like Luke, and that's because I've been pretty sick over the past few days. So it's giving me a little more baritone sound.
Smooth jazz.
Yeah, listen to that, Luke. You were born to podcast. You make commercials.
Exactly.
So we're just going to roll right into it. We're going to do two segments, and the first one, we'll do a short news story, and we'll talk about the Oscars a little, and I know there were some life updates I wanted to give, but I really can't think of them right now. We'll just see. We'll see
what we
roll into. Yeah. But I know one thing I wanted to say. Again, the community episode is on the 24th, and we want lots of participation. This is a big push to get participation from our listeners. And we've already had some responses.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be recording that on the night of 24th. Send us whatever. We're going to put questions up. We already put one up about your favorite character who is not in the study group. But we'll put more stuff up and try and make it more of an event thing.
Yeah.
Because this is one of our favorite shows. And Dustin has been still watching. In fact, last night we watched the spaceship episode and the zombie episode. Or no.
Oh, yeah.
No, we didn't get to the zombie episode.
So he's still an apprentice to the community
gods. Yes, still an
apprentice,
yes. He's right at the end of disc one. He has one episode left of season two, disc one.
Oh, okay, cool.
And you can follow us on Twitter, at CreatedListen.
Yes.
And that's where you can look for updates and everything else. So, first news story, or only news story, first and last. I was telling Luke just mere minutes ago in the car about something I heard today that I was pretty impressed by. Today, actually, it was Monday in Brussels, Belgium. There was a diamond and rare gem heist at the Brussels airport, and the thieves, which I believe there were 8 masked gunmen, they stole 30 million pounds in gems and diamonds, rubies. Yeah. And you can go online and find a lot of info on this, but it was just kind of crazy because as of right now, they have not been caught. they pulled up, according to most of the news stories I've looked at, it was a plane that landed in Brussels, was on its way to Switzerland, which is, I guess, where money just goes.
Yeah, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, have you noticed that? Swiss bank accounts and everything?
Yeah.
And for those of you who can't do your conversions, which I'll be the first to admit, I was off when I made a guess. It was about $50 million U.S. dollars is what they stole.
Wow.
Which, between eight guys, still doing pretty good.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and you got to trust your crew with eight guys.
Yeah.
You could backstab. But they were armed gunmen with machine guns, but mm-hmm. the kicker was they were dressed in police uniforms. So they pulled out onto the runway or on the tarmac, and I don't know if they rolled up. I can't find any information on this, whether or not they tried to be police and be official or if they just pulled out guns. But at some point, they pulled out machine guns, didn't shoot anyone, didn't fire a shot.
Oh, that's good.
Apparently, yeah. So no one was killed. So it's very Ocean's 11 style of, like, everything went pretty smooth because they thank the hole they cut in the fence after they cut it and drove onto the runway. They drove their cars through the fence. It was about 5 minutes from start to finish, how quick these guys were, which is pretty impressive.
Yes, it is.
Especially since they moved 120 boxes from the plane.
Holy crap.
Loaded them up, and roughly 30 million pounds just right in the pocket.
Dude.
So in that time, took off, and you can even look. I was laughing. There's, like, charts online of how they pulled it off, and, you know, people are just analyzing it. And then some people are comparing this to, there was a 2003 robbery diamond heist, possibly the largest in history. You want to take a guess how many pounds the largest in history was, Luke?
No, because I know
64 million pounds.
Holy crap.
That's if you're doing the conversion and you're right, I don't know.
Okay, this is in European currency, not yes. actual pounds. just want to point that out.
Yeah, yeah. So just something worth talking about. Definitely look it up. Just kind of a fun story. I mean, I realize a crime was committed, but
it's still awesome.
What a crime!
I know.
Right? Am I
yeah.
right? Yeah. Oh, and I was telling Luke earlier, if you go online, I think you can still find episodes. One of my favorite TV shows, Masterminds, is a show all about criminals that got away with it. And there's some.
That is a
there's
great
some,
show.
Yeah.
Idea.
There's about three seasons of it, so worth your time to watch a few episodes of Masterminds. Pretty good stuff. So that's the news, and moving right along, we're going to talk a little about the Oscars. And I haven't made a prediction list. Maybe I'll put something up online or something. Mm-hmm. Usually I make a list of what I want to win and what I predict to win, and I'll kind of skim through that tonight. But Luke,
yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Doesn't know anything about it. Luke, or guess how many nominations Looper got?
I don't know.
A whopping zero.
Oh,
our favorite movie this year.
That sucks.
2012, I know. But some other good movies did get nominated. There's always some movies in there that I'm pretty happy to see. With that said, though, the Oscars are primarily chosen and voted for by older white men.
Mm.
So that kind of, you can see that come out when you see what movies are picked and such. But interesting enough, do you know who's hosting? Have I told you this?
No.
Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, is hosting.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Now you want to watch.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I think he'll be pretty good. Most nominated movie this year, I'm not too surprised to see it, Lincoln, which is the one Steven Spielberg did.
It's about
Abraham Lincoln. I think you would enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Lincoln. I didn't see that.
And it's a pretty good movie. I was worried when I went in to see it was going to be a little too cheeseball,
mm-hmm.
But it really did a good job with the subject matter without being too preachy, because, you know, it is about racism, and, you know, it's pretty much like, what, Confederates and Nazis, you can say any mean thing you want about them because they're racist and prejudiced, and, you know, basically if you make an action movie where you want people to die horribly, make them Nazis or Confederates, and everybody will be okay with, or a Ku Klux Klan, right?
Yeah, but I heard that the movie release was badly timed, and it didn't get as many.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have controversy when you're dealing with something like slavery, though. people.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, it's, you know, it's a very, I would say, pro-American, pro or anti-racist movie.
Okay.
You know, and Tommy Lee Jones is fantastic in it. Do you remember Tommy Lee Jones in Captain America? He plays the old sergeant, or he's a general, I think. It's Captain America's commander that he drives the car at one point, and after Captain America kisses the girl, he looks at Captain America and says, "I ain't kissing you."
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He pretty much plays the same guy in Lincoln, so which can't go wrong with that. Yeah, and he's really good in Lincoln. And in fact, I think we'll get to it. I think he got nominated for a supporting actor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well deserved too. So, Best Picture nominees: Amour, which I have not seen, but I've heard mixed things on. That's a foreign film. It won't win Best Picture. It'll win Best Foreign Film. Is my prediction. Argo, which I did get to see, directed by Ben Affleck, of all people, and Argo is fantastic.
Oh, really?
I loved it. I think you'll like it.
Yeah. It'll just add that to the scroll.
Yeah, we'll add that to the never-ending scroll of movies that I tell Luke he needs to see.
And never see.
Hey, it'll give you something to do until you die, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, Argo's really good. Another Best Picture nominee, Beasts of the Southern Wild, which I enjoyed, but I don't think it should win Best Picture. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, it was actually the guy's first movie to direct. So that's doing pretty good.
Yeah,
first
it is.
First full movie to direct, and you get nominated for a Best Picture.
Yeah.
Django Unchained, which is, funny enough, another one about slavery.
I saw a little bit about that.
Yeah, there were lots of trailers. It came under a lot of fire for excessive use of the N-word.
Oh.
Which Quentin Tarantino has always been in trouble for.
Oh.
But I'm not too shocked to see it in there, because Tarantino is still very respected as a director.
Mm.
Les Mis, which is the one where they sing the whole time.
Yeah.
Dear God, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want it to win. Life of Pi, which... a lot of people liked the book, and yes, it's called Life of Pi.
Is it about the mathematical equation?
It is about a kid that gets stuck on a boat with some different animals. It's kind of a Noah's Ark motif, you could say. He goes on a fantastical journey. I read the book and enjoyed it, but so many people were like, "This is the greatest, you know, literary novel written in 10, 20 years," and I disagreed.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed Cloud Atlas more, which is based on a book as well, and the book Cloud Atlas I really, really like. It's all stories through different times, different periods of time that all connect, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. Lincoln, of course, Silver Linings Playbook, which is the one about people with, I guess, like mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet, and I want to. It's got Jennifer Lawrence from The Hunger Games, Katniss from The Hunger Games, and Bradley Cooper, who is... Do you know that name?
No.
Luke doesn't know Bradley Cooper. He's pretty famous.
Okay.
Let's just say it that way. All right.
That's all I need to know.
And then Zero Dark Thirty, which is the one about the hunt for Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I also have not seen that. I plan on seeing as many of these as I can before the Oscars, but I'm not going to pull it off. and then now something you'll notice here, Luke, is it's pretty much always the same movies get nominated for the same stuff.
Okay.
So the director of Amour got it. This is Best Director. Director of Amour, director of Life of Pi, director of Silver Linings Playbook, Lincoln, and Beasts of the Southern Wild. So, and my guess, actually, I think Beasts of the Southern Wild's director, Ben Zeitlin, will win. That'll really get him out the gate well, because he did do an excellent job, especially with... He's not as famous as Steven Spielberg or Ang Lee, who directed Life of Pi, but with a smaller budget and less respect, he directed the crap out of a pretty good movie. So,
nice.
So there you go.
Huh.
Yeah. Best Actor, pretty much people from all those same movies, except for Joaquin Phoenix for The Master and Denzel Washington for Flight. And I think that's going to go to Daniel Day-Lewis, who played Abraham Lincoln in the Lincoln movie, or it'll go to Joaquin Phoenix, who was in The Master, which is a movie about a cult, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. Best Actress, my guess, actually, and who I'm kind of rooting for just on the basis that I like her as an actress and as a person. She seems pretty cool. Jennifer Lawrence, who played
Katniss.
She got nominated for Silver Linings Playbook. And I hear she's really good at it.
Yeah.
And she's a little bit younger than I am, so that'd be quite an accomplishment.
Definitely.
But actually, the little girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild got nominated, and she's about 8 or 9 years old.
Oh.
So, yeah. So she could actually win, too. And she had no prior acting experience, did a really good job. And she's the main character in the film, too.
Cool. Well, who's the youngest Oscar nominee ever, all time?
Nominee, I'm not sure, but I know there have been people right around the age of 10 that have won.
Oh, really?
For Best Actor and Best Actress.
So this isn't an abnormal occurrence?
This isn't too abnormal, but, I mean, certainly it stands out when you have a lot of famous actresses and then a little girl.
Yeah.
Come here, little girl.
Yeah. So I'll be happy pretty much whoever wins Best Actress, because most of them are pretty good. And Supporting Actor, let me check real quick. Tommy Lee Jones did get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And really, I would want it to go to him, or maybe Alan Arkin, from Argo, who did a really good job. Because a lot of the other people who got nominated have already won before, because Robert De Niro got nominated, and Christoph Waltz, who he already won for Inglourious Nazi Killing People. Supporting Actress, just real quick. Actually, this one mixed it up a little more, but... actually, I hear Anne Hathaway was really good in Les Mis, who played Catwoman.
She's only
in the movie for about 10-15 minutes,
uh-huh.
And that's the best 10-15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, I'd like to see her win. And she's, have you ever heard her sing?
No, I have not.
She has an amazing singing voice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, actually, there's a really good thing of her singing Christmas carols with Jimmy Fallon that you can watch online.
Okay.
It's pretty funny.
So I'll just put it on my list to go stalk Anne Hathaway some more.
There you go, yeah. As if that wasn't already on your to-do list.
Yes.
Not many other... I'm not going to... I guess... My guess would probably be Anne Hathaway will win that one. Maybe Sally Field, who played Abraham Lincoln's wife. But I don't like her. She's too melodramatic. She overacts, in my opinion.
She's a British actor, in other words.
No, she's American.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, she acts like a British actor.
She acts like she's on stage, like she's trying to emote to the people in the back row.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching a movie, I can see you, I know what you're doing. But, you know, she acts like she's in a silent film. Anyways, she's been around a long time, so she must be doing something right.
Yeah.
Best screenplay, I'm going to say maybe Moonrise Kingdom, which was kind of a snubbed movie. Do you know what that means?
They didn't really like it that much. Or
well, it's a movie that a lot of critics and a lot of people seem to really like and think should win some Oscars, mm-hmm. and really didn't get nominated for a lot. And you notice this is the first time I mentioned Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it before. It's the only one, or the only nomination it got was screenplay. And I did see that one, and as always for me, it's a Wes Anderson film, and he's just one of those guys... When you're watching one of his movies, you know it's one of his movies. Mm-hmm. Kind of like J.J. Abrams with Lens Flares.
Yeah.
He has this very kind of, I want to say milquetoast style, but everything's very beautiful. So it's kind of like just very, like a landscape painting style, you know? He really knows how to use a camera. And actually, I heard a critic put it this way, that his movies are kind of like being an adult and then going back to your parents' house and going into your room and finding all your old things.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of these adult and kid fairy tales that he does. There's always a lot of interaction between adults and kids in his movies, actually, I've noticed. That's true, but sometimes it's like just parent relationships, too, with their adult children.
Yeah.
But that seems to be a theme in his movies. Anyways, I think... That will probably win, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Zero Dark Thirty for screenplay. Adapted screenplay, that's where it was something else, and they adapted the work, you know. I'm going to bet that either goes to Lincoln or, well, maybe Argo. I don't know. That's a tough one, because there's a lot of good movies in there and a lot of ones that are good adapted screenplays. All right, best animated feature... pop quiz. Do you think Wreck-It Ralph was nominated?
Yes,
I guess it was.
Good.
And I would like to see it win, because the other ones are Brave, which I did enjoy.
I never saw that.
That's a Tim Burton movie.
Frankenweenie? Oh, yeah. I didn't see that either.
We need to have our Tim Burton episode.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We'll work on that.
It'll be a very
Paranorman, The Pirates, Band of Misfits, which a lot of those are actually claymation.
Mm-hmm.
But Wreck-It Ralph, after seeing it tonight, I would love to see it win.
Yes, definitely.
Foreign language film, I'm saying Amore is going to win that all the way. So I'm not even going to mention the other ones. All right, and then a lot of them are the other ones are documentaries, which I will throw in my vote there. Searching for Sugar Man should and probably will win. Interesting documentary, true story of a which they're all true stories, but or well, that's debatable. But true story of a folk singer from Detroit who basically was kind of big for a while, disappeared, and then about 20 years later, they discovered that he was like the number one artist in South Africa.
Holy
just
crap.
Just kind of randomly. And so all these South African people are trying to find him, basically, and like, play a concert here, and we love you, your favorite musician. And most people here in the States have never even heard of him.
Oh, so, wow.
Pretty crazy. So good subject for a documentary.
Well, definitely. I don't know if I would watch that, though.
Then you have your short films. Best original score, that's the...
Music.
Music, yes, yeah. Correct. Which, that one, I don't know what will win. Interestingly, did I say that right?
Interestingly.
Skyfall was nominated in that one. Really? But I think Skyfall will win, could win, and probably will win Best Original Song.
Mm.
If Les Mis does not win it.
Yeah, I'm thinking Les Mis is in a lot of that.
Yeah. Although, you know, a few years ago, Best Original Song, Muppet or a Man won. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Have you heard that song?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It was from the newer Muppet movie, and it's a great song.
Oh, nice.
By one of the Flight of the Conchords, actually, wrote it. So, original score, I'm just going to throw a guess out there and say Anna Karenina, because that's like the only thing it got nominated for. So, has to mean something, right?
Yeah.
Then you got your sound editing, sound mixing, which just pick an action movie, pretty much, because it's tougher to do that kind of stuff in action movies. So, although Les Mis would be a good contender, too.
Definitely.
Especially the way they did it. What is interesting about that movie is, did you know they sang on the set?
Really?
Didn't record it in lip sync. They actually sang on the set. And wow. The actors wore earpieces while a live piano played. So, I think that probably worked out well for them, but at the same time, I think that'd just be overkill for you and me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Production design, actually, The Hobbit got nominated there, so
yeah,
I'm going to vote for The Hobbit.
Definitely.
Cinematography.
Actually, going back to music, The Hobbit had a very good soundtrack, I thought.
Yeah, actually, it did. Not nominated. Hobbit got snubbed. I guess they figured The Hobbits are already rolling in their, 20-something Oscars from all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, probably.
Because combined, I think they won something like almost 30.
Holy crap.
Because each movie won at least two, because The Two Towers won the least amount, but Return of the King won 13 Oscars.
Holy crap.
Which is tied for the record. And then Fellowship, I think, won maybe 8.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of Oscars.
It is.
Yeah. So production design... Hobbit, maybe Les Mis. Cinematography, I'm going to say, is going to go to Life of Pi.
Mm-hmm.
That's my vote there. Makeup, actually, The Hobbit would be great. Actually, it's best makeup and hairstyling is the category. And with all the hair in The Hobbit,
definitely,
go Hobbit, go. costume design, who cares?
Hobbit.
I'm just going to skip that. Hobbit's not nominated.
Oh, really?
Film editing, again, kind of just go with an action movie. I don't know, something, well, I don't know. It could be whatever. I think maybe Zero Dark Thirty might take that one up. Visual effects, okay.
Oh.
You've got Hobbit, Life of Pi, Avengers, Prometheus, really? And Snow White and the Huntsman.
Hmm.
Now, Luke, this is something that you're more of an expert on, and you've seen a few of these movies.
Yes.
So what do you think?
Well, you see, the Hobbit didn't have a lot of screen effects in it. It had some really good ones for the short times they needed it.
Yeah.
But the Avengers, it was full of that. That was like constant.
And they did an awesome job with the Hulk.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think this is a category, really, that all those movies really deserve an Oscar. Even the ones there, like, I actually did see Snow White and the Huntsman, but it still has some impressive visual effects.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think, though, Life of Pi might win, because that's what it's being praised for, is its visual moments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've seen some stuff. I haven't seen the movie yet, and I need to. Yeah. Actually, everyone told me, you need to see it on the big screen.
Well, you should drag me along.
I have a nice TV. But I would love to see the Avengers, or maybe even Prometheus, win, because it's a lot of outer space stuff, which always, you know,
and it's
can be a challenge.
Prometheus, but I,
yeah,
you know, it's out in space, so it's full of special effects, I'm sure.
So, Luke, that is your first time hearing like a full nominee list.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I'm definitely excited to see The Hobbit and Wreck-It Ralph on there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Haven't seen some of those other movies, but you need to.
Yeah, a lot of them are dramas that are more for, you know, I don't want to say older people, but, you know, they appeal to an older generation.
Oh, yeah.
Although a lot of those movies in there I do enjoy. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to do an episode sometime where we list a lot of maybe pretentious films, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And we'll find out how much I like them or don't like them.
Pretentious as in?
Snooty art films.
Oh.
Heady movies that I feel, since I understood them, I am so superior to the average film goer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which I can get very that way, as you know. But I think a good film lover loves the worst of the worst, Troll 2, Birdemic,
yeah.
And loves the best of the best, Citizen Kane, Casablanca.
I've not seen those.
Yeah, I think you would actually enjoy Casablanca.
Really?
It is such a good movie. Works on every level.
Okay.
And a lot of fascinating stories about it. For example, they were pretty much writing the script as they were filming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it turned out to be an amazing script. There's a lot of jokes in there, even though they were written in the late 1930s, early 1940s. You're still like, that was a really good line in 2013.
All right. So, and this is in black and white, I bet.
It's a black and white.
Oh. Great.
I'll show you some cinema classics. Blade Runner is kind of held up in high esteem.
Nice.
And you kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like Blade Runner. That was a good movie.
Yeah, I love Blade Runner. But that's another subject for another time. So we're just doing two segments today. So this is the end of segment one, and we'll come back with our review of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
All right. Right, we are back, and this is the second segment. Believe it or not, I didn't lie. It's just me, C.S. Berkheimer. There's no one else here. Right, Luke?
Yeah.
No, it's Luke and I. It's a little late, and we've been goofing off tonight. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I was going to mention earlier, I knew something I was going to give on an update. We watched a little Portlandia tonight, which is a show you and I enjoy.
Yes,
it is. If you enjoy insane sketch comedy stuff...
Yeah,
you'll probably like Portlandia.
If you like college humor, you'll love Portlandia.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing I like about Portlandia is they're not afraid to take on really bizarre subject matter for a skit, you know? like there's one, well, a great example from the one we watched tonight, the DJing thing.
Yes.
Which is where all these people are trying to get them to come to their DJ show, and it ends up kind of being like zombies. Everybody's turning into DJs, and they're trying to get away, which... Instead of, you know, a lot of sex and bizarre stuff, they just... Well, there's bizarre stuff, but...
Oh, yeah.
They steer away from doing the stereotypical sketch stuff, I would say.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's some episodes in there that you might think, like, oh, this is weird, or this is gross, or, you know, it's awkward watching this with my parents in the room.
Yeah.
so I wouldn't recommend that. But with some of your buddies and everything, it's mostly pretty... PG-13.
Yeah, by yourself in your lonely little bed.
Yeah, it's a good show to put on when you're doing other stuff, too, because you can kind of just pop over, watch a little bit of a segment, or, you know.
Yeah.
But I have sat down and watched every episode. There's only two seasons up on Netflix. Anyways, this is segment two, and it's the last segment for the night, but that's okay, because we'll be back soon with our big community episode.
Yes.
Not trying to plug it or anything. Joel McHale, come on our podcast, please.
Who's that?
Yeah, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or Troy Barnes.
Yeah,
I have met him, and now I forget his real name. Donald Glover. There we go.
There we
Thank
go.
God.
Yes.
Thank God. He will remember me too.
Really?
Because I'm the guy that shook his hand and told him that I really like the stuff he does, which I bet nobody else has done that. I know.
Sarcasm.
I'm name dropping left and right tonight. Well, Luke,
what?
You and I went to see a little movie called Wreck-It Ralph tonight.
We did.
We went to the Dollar Theater, baby.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is our review of Wreck-It Ralph, and we'll give a spoiler warning. We forgot to have this discussion, Luke, but we'll give a spoiler warning towards the end, because I would like to discuss the last 10 minutes, if you would.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, because there's... the movie really has some good twists all the way through, but we don't want to give away the ending, basically. So we'll give that heads up and just let people turn off the podcast early.
Yeah,
if they don't want to hear or have it spoiled. But it's been out a while. So we saw Wreck-It Ralph tonight, which is, it seems like it's a Pixar movie, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a Disney movie.
Yeah, Pixar has just really morphed into Disney the past 10 years.
Well, and Disney bought Pixar, but they've allowed Pixar Studios to kind of do what they do.
Yeah.
And
in addition to incorporating all their stuff.
And, right.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, as I said before, I'm a little sick. So, trying to keep the throat clear.
Yeah.
Trying not to... cough and go ugh, so everybody like that. It would be terrible if on this podcast I went ugh.
yeah let's do
so a lot of people are saying this year that it was kind of the year that Pixar went Disney and Disney went Pixar, because Pixar this year made Brave,
yes,
which is a pretty traditional princess story,
definitely,
with the exception of it's more about a mother and daughter. It's about a mother daughter relationship, and it has some good Pixar twists in it, and there's some great stuff with bears. Who doesn't like bears?
Yeah, I know.
Losers. Nazis and Confederates. That's who doesn't like bears. we can make fun of them as much as we want.
Yeah, definitely.
And
Bear Game 2013.
We should start a Twitter hashtag tonight.
Dude, that was a Twitter hashtag. I retweeted that.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you need to stalk
me
more.
I'm out of the loop. I was sick. That's my excuse.
That's your perfect time to lay in bed and groan and check Twitter for hours on end.
No, that's true. I was trying to sleep.
Don't sleep, man. It doesn't help.
So, what I was getting to is Disney made what seemed like a Pixar movie, which is they made a movie about a video game character.
Yes.
Very much, I think there's no shame in comparing this to Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Because it's about what video games are doing when humans are not around.
Yes.
Is exactly what it's about.
That is.
And it's just, I guess, Luke, we can hit some of the high points or the stuff we liked. You know, we didn't plan out this review too much, but I want to start with the voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great voice actors.
Yes, definitely. I'm pretty sure I caught a common the voice actor that does a lot of voice acting for Pixar in there as Ralph. I don't know if you... I kept
John
catching
John C. Reilly, I don't know what kind of... I think he's done some cartoons before, but he's a pretty well-known actor and did a good job. He plays Ralph.
Okay.
Fix-It Felix, who is Ralph's...
Ralph's.
I was trying to get a Mustang in here. Ralph. No. Ralph's rival... is Fix-It Felix.
Uh-huh.
And he's voiced by Jack McBrayer, who is Kenneth from 30 Rock, if people know who that is.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't think he did.
He sounded like, Barney from Sheriff Griffin.
Yeah.
Yes, a little bit of that.
Yeah. But the guy who voices Fix-It Felix does a really good job. Mm-hmm. And eventually they go to a candy-themed video game, and the King character, which I don't know who did the voice, but the evil King.
Yes, he sounds so familiar, though.
Yeah, but part of me wonders if it was actually Rip Taylor, who's like an old comedian, because like some of the gags they did. Like there's a great gag where he puts on glasses, uh-huh. says you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, and then Ralph takes off the glasses from the King and hits the King literally with the glasses. So he's like, you hit me with glasses! Which that was a great joke. And there was, I was surprised by how much I was laughing in this movie.
Yes, I was surprised too.
A lot of big laughs. So very funny. So if you want to see something just that'll give you a laugh and that's very, you know, I don't know if it was rated G, but certainly PG.
Definitely.
That you can watch, you know, watch with kids, adults, your family. Watch it with your dog. No one will be offended by this movie,
I don't. Well, some people.
Will be offended by anything.
Yeah.
but it is certainly very funny, and mm-hmm. most people should have a few moments, at least a few moments, where you find some good laughs. Another good thing I think we both enjoyed, great soundtrack.
Definitely, yeah.
Very digital.
Yeah, there was a bit of dubstep in there. And at one point there, you do see Skrillex in this movie.
Yes, there's a Skrillex cameo.
Yes, and that was awesome.
That was hilarious. I was laughing so hard at that. Some kind of Atari 8-bit themed music, obviously. Yes.
I don't know who did that, though. I heard somebody mention Owl City. I really doubt it, though. That's not their
style. I think Owl City actually did do a song for it.
Okay.
In fact, now that I'm remembering, because Ian Anderson, who was on the podcast last time,
he mentioned that
Owl City did some music for it. So good job, Owl City.
Yeah, but
probably my favorite stuff by Owl City. I'm not a big fan of their other stuff.
It is. It's just one guy.
Yeah. So pretty good music. And once again, I'm always pretty impressed by the CG.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, they did a really good job.
Yeah, they did. And they do a lot of gags with it, too, because mm-hmm. you have the old-school 8-bit characters.
Yes.
And then you have newer video game characters that look cleaner and better, and there's even a good joke about that where a guy's like, you're so high definition.
Yes.
And that was hilarious. Really, I don't think there were any characters in this movie I didn't like. There wasn't a lot of the music I didn't enjoy, and the visuals all pretty much worked, including a lot of the visual gags.
Mm-hmm.
They made use of bringing the old school video games into the current year,
mm-hmm.
the current time. So those would be some of the best highlights. And of course, one of the biggest highlights is video games.
Yes.
You know, you see Pac-Man, you see Bowser, Q-Bert. Street Fighter, Q-Bert. Yeah.
Yes.
Q-Bert has some great moments. And there's a moment, actually, the first time that Ralph kind of goes in between games.
Yes.
There's kind of this, it's actually the surge protector. It's
yes.
It's supposed to be that all the video games are plugged into. And when Ralph goes in there, there's a moment where there's a lot of characters in there.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, when I get this on DVD or Blu-ray, actually, it probably look great on Blu-ray, I'm going to pause it and just look around and see how many video game characters I can spot.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
References. Because it was very impressive.
It definitely was.
And I'm surprised they got the rights or permission to use all those.
Well, what company wouldn't want some free advertising from Disney?
Yeah. And you see Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, he's giving out tips and stuff.
Yeah. He's Sonic the Hedgehog is doing like PSAs, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, it was.
I noticed one thing. They mentioned Mario. No Mario, though.
I noticed that, too.
But I have heard rumor, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Mario might be a big character.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
They definitely had a lot of stuff from Mario. They had the mushroom. They had Bowser.
Yeah.
And
I love, too, the local bar is based on the old root beer tap game.
Yes.
Where you're the bartender sending root beer floats to people. So that was great. Everybody goes and drinks root beer at the little bar.
It was awesome.
So Ralph is a bit of an outcast character because he's a villain,
mm-hmm.
so he's frowned upon, and he basically goes on his hero's journey, I would say.
Yeah,
for a medal, but it's more about what the medal represents,
mm-hmm.
Which is status, which is being liked.
Because in the game he's from, Fix It Felix, at the end of every game, Felix gets a medal.
Exactly.
And he gets to live in the penthouse, and they have parties every night. Ralph lives out in the dump.
Yeah, because it's Ralph tries to destroy the building, and Felix repairs it.
Yeah, that's the whole game.
Yeah, and that's the whole game. And it's kind of based on Rampage, if people have ever played that game.
I never heard
that's
of it.
That's where you're giant monsters, and you tear down buildings. And that's the game.
That's cool.
And so Ralph kind of goes on his journey to get his medal. He goes into a game called Hero's Duty, which for me, first of all, the visuals and when he first goes in there were very impressive to me.
Yes,
even on the cheap dollar screen, the dollar theater screen, which Hero's Duty is very much a blend of Halo
Call of Duty.
And Call of Duty.
Yes, and actually more so because I think the most recent Call of Duty game has a lot of aliens and other stuff in there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Call of Duty, huh? I also felt some Gears of War influence.
Really?
If people have played Gears of War.
Yeah. Well, you see, Call of Duty's run out of things to make games about, so now they're putting more crap in there.
So Ralph gets involved in that, and then eventually ends up in a candy go-kart racing game that's very Mario Kart inspiring. And Luke, I could tell you had some problems with the Candyland.
Yes, part. I did.
Yeah.
That was just
Well, tell me what you didn't like.
It was all pink.
It was all, it's too fluffy.
Too fluffy.
Too cutesy.
Yeah.
That is where you get your cutesy moments, and Ralph does get a female sidekick.
Yeah.
And I thought Sarah Silverman is the actress who voices her. She did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and the whole Ralph and Penelope relationship really reminds me of Sullivan and Boo. From Monsters, Inc.
Yeah,
it really does.
That's actually a pretty good one. I love that you said Sullivan instead of Sully.
I like Sullivan.
which actually tonight, too, we saw a preview for Monsters University.
Yes.
And quick plug for that. That was a great trailer.
It was
really good. yeah.
It wasn't all in-your-face shocking visuals and crap. No, it was just played right into it.
It made you want more.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, which is always good. So Ralph gets involved in some kart racing stuff, and then I think you can tell pretty quickly one of the villains of the movie is the king of this racing world, he cracked me up.
Yes, he does.
He cracks me up stuff. Too. Yeah.
And quick thing here, I think this whole sugar thing, sugar world, was based on the game Candyland.
Candyland and Mario Kart.
Yes, that too. It's a bit of a mashup.
Of those games. All the games are kind of a mashup.
Yeah.
And so you get a lot of good jokes in there. It actually felt a little like Adventure Time to me because Bubblegum Kingdom is the same thing as this candy-inspired world. Because Bubblegum Kingdom is like donut people and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Oreo. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, there's Oreos. And they sing Oreo.
And it was so awesome. They didn't show the Oreos until almost to the end of the whole Oreo thing. And then it's just awesome.
I got to say, if you love a good pun,
yes,
you're going to love this movie.
Yes.
There are a lot of great puns. And I don't want to spoil a lot of the jokes for anybody.
No, don't.
Because there's a great sequence. Well, there's a few great sequences involving a character from Hero's Duty, which is the female commander.
Oh, that was
voiced by Jane Lynch, who does an awesome job.
That was an awesome character.
Yeah, and she has a lot of hysterical moments. Where she doesn't really fit in any game except for her own.
Yes.
And so she's very violent and always has guns and is always high strung. And you find out the reason behind that and you are laughing your head off.
Yes.
It's so fun. So we won't spoil some of the jokes. But Luke, I think we've hit a lot of high points you want to do before we get into the quick spoiler part of it. Any cons, anything?
Well, quick thing here. Let's not spoil the twist in this movie for anybody.
Yeah, we're not.
Okay,
I don't
good.
Yeah,
good. Well, because that was such a good twist. I'd hate anybody who spoiled it for me.
Well, we can do it at the end of the podcast, though. Tell people to turn it off if they don't want to hear it.
Okay.
You
want to
leave it off completely?
Well, I don't know.
I'd like to. We'll see.
I don't think it's really much to talk about anyway. But okay, we could talk about how good the how everything fit together and stuff at the end.
Well, so. Another highlight that you and I were talking about in the car, a good script introduces things to you and they come into play. They're not just shown just to be silly or just to have another thing going on. This movie does an excellent job of establishing some random things that tie together very well.
Yes, it does.
I think in a few points, especially one of the bigger twists at the end, you and I both were completely taken off guard.
Yes, I was.
And it was so nice to be surprised.
Yes.
There's very few movies in the past few years that I've been completely taken off guard and said, oh my God,
yes.
When the twist happens.
And it when you saw it happen, you realized, oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And it was, wow.
Yeah. And that's all we'll say about that.
Yeah.
Just to say, movie does an excellent job of tying everything together well.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, really a lot of high points. I don't have a lot of complaints other than maybe they spent a little too much time focusing on the Candyland world, on Sugar Rush.
Yeah, I agree there. I would have liked to see more Heroes Duty stuff.
More
because,
Heroes Duty.
Yeah.
And also, they're in this arcade.
There's so many other games.
So many other games, exactly.
Yeah.
I would love to see even a sequence maybe where Ralph falls through some different games.
Yeah.
Or a montage.
Where or he gets lost.
Yeah, he gets lost or turned around. And you do see some different environments, but you become hungry in this movie to see new things because every time they show you something new, it's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is.
They're already talking sequel. And I'm all for it.
I am too.
I think there's plenty you can do with Ralph.
Definitely.
And other characters too.
Yes.
There's no end to characters they can use and no end to games, really. Because they can use real ones or made up ones.
Definitely.
So, a lot of great jokes. Any other cons? Negatives?
Not really.
Okay.
There was possible foul language in there, and
there's kind of suggested foul language.
Yes, it fits so well with the character.
Yeah, I guess.
And there was a bit of a depressing part where Ralph destroys the go kart. That was actually made me kind of sad.
Yeah. I have to say too. And this isn't a negative. This is a positive. I was moved.
Yes,
in some moments by not just the cuteness and the funniness and how attached I got to some of the characters.
Yeah,
some of them I was like, oh my God, I love you. I want to play your video game and have your plushie doll, whatever. Like,
so I can hold you and squeeze you forever.
Yes, exactly. Bethany's got me saying the line from Despicable Me all the time now. It's so fluffy, I'm gonna die. Because the little girl loves the unicorn.
And I hear you hate Despicable Me. So
I don't,
that's just so ironic.
I really don't like it. But all the stuff with the little girls is super adorable.
Yes, it is.
But I really hate the Minions.
I love the Minions. That's the best part of the movie.
We'll talk about that some other time. So, Wreck-It Ralph, though, does have some moments where I don't think cheaply. I don't think they sucker punch you really that much with the emotional moments. I can say this. I could maybe see Bethany crying.
Yeah.
Or seeing some people, and I was fighting it a little bit. Some moments, especially when Ralph kind of comes full circle as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're so rooting for Ralph.
Yes, definitely.
And so you really you want to stand up and cheer for him in moments.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to give a star rating or anything, but just to say, I think we both give it a very high recommendation.
Yes, definitely.
See it. I think it'll be on DVD soon, but it's still in some theaters. If you can manage to go see it in a dollar theater like we did, worth every penny, especially on 50 Cent Tuesday.
Yeah.
We did. So, Wreck-It Ralph, I can't think of anybody I wouldn't recommend it to.
Mm-hmm. Recommended to.
That is episode 7 of the Created Listening Podcast.
Hooray.
Hooray. You can follow us on Twitter at Created Listen.
And be sure to talk to us.
Yes.
And, we like talking to you
guys.
Be
ready for the big community show.
Yeah.
Right around the corner. So we're excited. Watch the Oscars, eat your vegetables, and we will see you episode 8.
Yeah.
All right.